It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast, episode 311, and I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, my brother Matt and I chat about what these two blowout victories against lesser WCC foes mean for the men's basketball team. Has TJ Hawes returned to form? We also talk about men's volleyball and their historic win against Ohio State. Also on the show, Taysom Hill blocks punts and football recruiting struggles. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. Check out this podcast and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout and listen to us right now. So, Matt, what's up, buddy? You're stuck in frozen Houston, Texas?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, right? I mean, everything's covered in ice.
Yeah. That sounds tough.
Yeah, it's like it's easily like high 20s out there. It's freezing.
Yeah. It's about the same temperature here, minus 20 degrees.
Yeah, it's
a bunch of pansies.
It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing.
Based on my experience this morning, okay, so I get up, I go for a run, okay. At first, I try to go running outside. Like, that's not fit for humans. So I end up on a treadmill. I get my run in. I go out to the car, and there's this like thin layer of this. It was like ice, like this thin layer of ice all over the car. It was very bizarre, and I have memories of clearing stuff like this up with a tool. Mm. Guess what they don't have in rental cars in Texas?
They do not have a snow brush.
No, no snow brush, no ice scraper, no nothing. Nothing. Mm. That's cool. I'm out there with a credit card.
Ah, their credit card.
Reminded me of doing that. I remember doing that like on early mornings on the way to early morning seminary. I remember actually doing that in Massachusetts. I hated it then just as much.
You scraped it with a credit card?
That's what I did just now.
No. In Massachusetts, growing up. Didn't you have a snow brush?
I have some memories of using my driver's license or something. I don't think I had a credit card in those days. Must use my driver's license.
But you didn't have a snow brush?
I don't know.
Hey, dude, don't you remember the one time you were going to defend me when those guys were going to beat me up in high school and you were in the back seat of the car as a junior high school kid holding the snow brush? Do you remember that?
It was the most weapon-like thing available at the time.
It was the best thing we had.
There was nothing else I had.
Yeah.
I had nothing else.
And when like six guys are going to beat up your brother who weighs 98 pounds, you got to do something.
And they were not small guys. I was closer in size to them than you were, yeah, but they were not small.
They were not small. That's another story for another day, Matt. Well, you know, let's open up straight up with a tweet bag question.
Tweet bag.
So Spencer Lindemann, that's at the LDS SDL on Twitter, says this: 2 weeks ago, I became a father to a beautiful daughter. Congratulations, Spencer.
Congrats.
That is awesome. Girls are the best, except for your sons, awesome. Who are also the best.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so congratulations, Spencer, sincerely. What have you done to help your daughters and sons become fans of the Lord's one true university, BYU? Which, by the way, that's true. Is there any disputing that BYU is the one true university?
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what it means either, but it's true.
I love it, but I love the phrase, and I love the use of the phrase, yes. Spencer. I think it's fantastic. It's
fantastic. I hope it angers someone listening to this podcast.
I hope somebody becomes unreasonably angry at the use of that phrase.
Yes, at the use of that phrase. So, Matt, do you do anything besides just love it yourself and lead by example? This is going to get weird. To get your kids interested in BYU, both sports and just the university in general.
Hold on, why is this going to get weird? I don't understand what got weird.
I just said I lead by example. that's why. That's why. I'm going to pull a Bronco and start quoting scriptures or, you know, Captain Moroni.
Listen, we've covered this. We're not quoting scriptures on the podcast.
We do not quote scriptures.
Except for comedic value.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that that's appropriate.
No.
Somebody quoted a scripture in a tweet bag question once. Anyway, what I think really works effectively is to shower them with BYU gifts.
Yes. Yes. That's the number one way to do it.
And you wear BYU shirts around the house so that the kids, when they're very small, begin to recognize the stretch Y. I've got my two-year-old, any t-shirt that he sees that's got like sports on it, he may say that it says BYU. Sometimes he says Purdue. I'm not going to lie. But he definitely recognizes the stretch Y.
So the three-year-old, I was wearing my BYU hat the other day, and my three-year-old daughter says, "Where's my, how does she phrase it? How does she say it? My YU hat, YU hat."
Yeah, she didn't say UU hat.
No, she said YU hat. And we're looking around and we're like, she doesn't have them. Well, we have them, right? Because she's the fourth girl, right? So there's a BYU hat around. So my wife, Kathleen, went and dug it up and gave it to her. Well, by the time she found it, it was the next day. And the next day, I'm wearing my Boston Red Sox hat. And she came up to me. She's so proud. She's got this pink, which, by the way, if you're against the pink, fine. You can be against the pink. But one of my daughters picked out the pink. And if it gets the stretch Y in the house, you do it, right? You do it.
Yes, yes. And that's part of the answer to Spencer's question.
Yes,
go ahead.
That's part of the answer. So she walks up, and she's so proud. She's like, "Dad, I got my YU hat on. I got my YU hat on." And she's like, "Do you have your YU hat on?" And I'm like, "No, I've got my Red Sox hat on." And she says, "Why wouldn't you just wear your YU hat?" So I think I've got them trained pretty well. And if you ask my daughters where they're going to be going to school, there's really only one answer that is given. So I've done pretty well. And they sit down and watch. Two out of the three older ones aren't particularly interested in watching sports on TV. So I guess I've failed a little bit there, but
But if they're not into watching sports, I mean, there's not much you can do there.
Well, yeah, and it's not that they're not into watching BYU sports; they're not really into watching sports,
right,
in general. So any other tips or tricks for Spencer, Matt?
I think if you're not local to Utah, but you get out there periodically, you got to take your kids to campus and tell them stories about when you were in college. If you went to BYU, the creamery. Or the creamery is always a big seller, the creamery is. Yep. And if it's your kid's bag, some sporting events. But that all being said and done, I have taken the position that my kids can go to school wherever they would like.
Oh, yeah, same here. I can't say that. There's a couple of exceptions. I think anybody that listens to this podcast on a regular basis will know that I will not
be particularly happy. There are a couple of schools in California.
Yeah, about Stanford, San Diego State, or the U. And the U, quite frankly, here's my argument against the U. It actually isn't a rivalry thing. If you're going to pay out-of-state tuition, I think you need to be an elite academic institution. So obviously, I'm insulting the U. But you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to go, it needs to be like Michigan, right?
Right.
Or, you know, pick your other elite out-of-state school. Otherwise, just go to your state school. Like, go to the University of Minnesota, which
is great. Utah State.
I'd have the same argument against Utah State. But again,
no, I was just making a Utah comparison. Like, I was making a joke.
Oh, you're making.
Like, your kids
at the expense.
Go to Utah State.
Yeah, right. I get it. I'm a little slow.
And I was really just kidding.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the sports rivalry stuff, but whatever.
We've
talked about this ad nauseum, but the crux of his question is you got to shower them with it and surround them with the stretch Y when they're little.
Start early, Spencer.
Connect fond memories to it. You go do fun things with your kids wearing BYU gear. It psychologically programs to associate the memory of the fun thing you just did with the BYU logo.
Yep.
Amen. Take a vacation to the beach. Throw on a BYU hat.
Amen.
Go to Disney World, wear a shirt, BYU shirt. Every time the kids look at the pictures, it's you, it's them, it's Mickey Mouse, and it's BYU.
That's right. All right, put them on the straight and narrow path, Spencer.
It's all about, you basically brainwash them as children.
that's what parenting is. Parenting is brainwashing children. That's
what we're all doing. And we can also pretend like that's not what we're doing, but that's what we're all doing.
That's what we're doing. So he put hashtag tweetbag and hashtag climb on in, by the way, Matt.
Climb on in, which will no longer be whispered, just for the record.
Okay, and there's nothing about meat this time?
That got extremely uncomfortable last time. I can't believe you even brought it up again.
Yeah, right. I just like to make you squirm. Matt, let's go straight now to the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars? I couldn't do it.
All right. Let's take two, brother. Take two. CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news. He can't do it. Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan. There you go. At CougarFan.com. Matt, NFL playoffs, which we'll talk about here for a minute, but let's talk about the most exciting thing to happen in that Saints-Vikings game. The Taysom Hill block punt.
Oh, how cool is this, huh?
Not actually the most exciting thing to happen in that game, but Taysom Hill is special teams master now, right?
He's playing next year. He's going to have a role with that team next year.
They are clearly building towards something, and it's not Drew Brees' replacement.
Nope. And that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. So tell me, where do you sit on that last play? I'm in Minnesota, right? So all anyone has been able to talk about since Sunday night is the last play of the Vikings game, all right? And all the Packers fans making snide remarks of, well, you know, it's got to be good to feel good about your football team once, you know? So all that stuff going on, Matt, where do you sit on that last play of the game? Or do you think Williams, like, it's a massive screw-up? Do you think Diggs made the wrong decision? Because if somebody catches him, game over, and they don't even get a chance at a long field goal attempt, right? Where do you sit on that play? What were you thinking as you watched it?
Let me tell you where I was sitting. I was on an airplane flying out of New Orleans.
So you missed the play?
I was on a Southwest flight, and you can watch TV on your phone on Southwest. So I'm on a plane full of Saints fans.
Oh gosh.
And everybody's huddled around phones and iPads and laptops watching the game, including four or five people. My row, the row next to me, somebody behind me, and then I'm giving updates out loud to the guy in the seat in front of me, watching this game.
Oh gosh.
Luckily, I had chosen, and it was close, I had a Patriots sweatshirt on before I left for the airport and changed.
Oh, that was a smart choice.
So
nobody likes a Patriots fan.
No, you can't. You can't on a game day for the Saints wear Patriots clothes in Louisiana. It's a bad idea, unless the Patriots are playing. In which case, like all day Saturday, I had a Patriots sweatshirt and hat on. But anyway, so we're all Saints fans, putting air quotes around that for me. But everybody's just losing their mind. You know, people are just losing their mind. You know, with the punt. And then they come down, now you're up, and there's just a few seconds left, and you got some people there are like U of H alums or have some association with Houston, right? Because that's where we're flying to, and people are like, well, Case Keenum. Everyone's like, Case Keenum sucks. He's never been good in the NFL. But, you know, there's all this going on, and the buzz is crazy. One of the flight attendants was from a town called Thibodaux in southern Louisiana. It's where Nichols State is. He's been a Saints fan his whole life. He says, okay, I can't watch the game with you guys while we're in this flight, so anytime the Saints score, I need everybody to hit their call button so that I know what's going on. People are losing their minds. They score, they're up, it's over.
Wow.
And then that guy misses the tackle. I mean, he didn't just miss it. Like, he didn't even, like, you put it, he did everything wrong.
Well,
like, he missed out. These are the steps to tackle somebody. He did the opposite of every one of those steps.
He was clearly afraid of pass interference. He had lost track of the ball, right? So he didn't know where the ball was, and it ended up being a massive mistake, right?
Yeah, you got to hit that guy, wrap him up, and bring him to the ground.
You don't have to do anything. You don't do anything till he catches it, right? Because then you try to twist him away from the sideline. Like, you don't hit him. There's no incentive to hit him as the ball arrives. Right? Yeah, you could knock it loose or whatever, and it could have been a long field goal attempt. But, you know,
at that point, your only objective is stop him right here.
Well, and then if you listen to some of the players that were interviewed on the Vikings, the tight end was running a you know, kind of a little post down the middle of the field, and he was covered man to man. And he said in the interview afterwards, like, I had no idea why they were covering me. Like, I mean, if I catch the ball, so what? Right? Like, yeah, you gotta spy him, right? Because he could head towards the sideline. But there weren't that many seconds. So if he's in the middle of the field, he's not getting to the sideline, right?
Right.
So the fact that they also had nobody behind Williams was a little odd, too. So I feel like that was just unfortunately poorly managed by the Saints.
Managed all around, right? And it was at I've never been on a quieter flight than the rest of that plane ride.
Oh, yeah. And let me tell you, work has never been as loud as it was on Monday. And every time, I don't mean to be crude, but I am at the urinal, and one of the vice presidents of the company stops and goes, "What about that game last night, huh?" You know, like, nobody could talk about anything else. Like, our meetings were just Vikings. You know, just Vikings
discussion. How about
that game
last night? Good game, buddy. Gives you a little good game tap.
Yeah. There you go. So anyway, that's our NFL for today. We'll be back and maybe give some predictions for the NFL playoff at the end.
Predictions are garbage.
Spoiler
the four quarterbacks
warning.
Left in the playoffs right now. The four quarterbacks are Case Keenum, Nick Foles. I'm drawing a blank.
Blake Bortles.
And Tom Brady.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get back to that. We'll get back to that.
Who would have predicted this? That's insane. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. So, Matt, Micah Hanneman and Tooney Kanuch are both hoping to play in the NFL, and they took a step towards that in playing in the Spiral. This Sunday, they will play in the Spiral Tropical Bowl All-Star game. All-American, sorry, not All-Star. All-American game. So, Matt, I think both those guys have a shot at making a roster next year.
You know, Hanneman's a pretty athletic guy. Yeah. If he gets into the right spot, he might be able to make some room for himself. You know, Kanuch is, you know, kind of a big, nasty man. So, yeah, I think they both have a shot. I mean, neither of them are a shoe-in by any means. But
not.
It's not laughable that they find an opportunity.
Nope, I totally agree. I think you know, they could just add some for the scouts, some possibilities there. So, Matt, let's talk about men's basketball, and I'm getting kind of thirsty with all this talking we're doing.
Oh boy.
Yeah, there we go. A little Dr. Pepper for you. You probably
must be nice.
You wouldn't be able to drink. It's got to be frozen there.
Mm. Well, and I don't have access to anything. Everything's closed.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, it doesn't close here at 20 degrees and some ice. So anyway, Matt, last week we talked a lot about, you know, the loss. We talked a lot about TJ Hawes, and everything came up opposite this week I've got the wrong team names in here.
Yeah, no, I saw that on. Yeah, you did. But yeah, everything came up opposite against Pepperdine and Santa Clara.
Yeah, now
this last weekend.
Let's be very clear. Both those teams are terrible, okay?
Yep.
So we'll say that. But BYU did exactly what they were supposed to do against terrible teams, which is beat the crap out of them.
Destroy them.
Yeah, okay? So
strike them down.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Emperor. Jared Roundsville, that's at J Roundsville on Twitter, asked this. Is our basketball team actually good? I think they might be! ! And everyone back next year looking up, # tweetbag, # go Cougs. Matt, are they good?
So wait a minute, but is Roundsville already like, he's basically saying like, hey, this team's actually good next year. This team will be good next year.
No,
I feel like it's a little bit early. Right? I mean, come on. No, but that's not what he's saying.
They'll be better
that's
next
not
year.
What he's saying. He's saying here is like, this team might be really good. These guys are all going to come back next year. It's January. It's the middle of January, man.
Yeah, we still got a lot of season to go. But let's start now. We'll get to next year here in a second. Are they good right now?
They're not awful, but they're not making the tournament. So what's the definition of good? Is the definition of good the field of 68 or whatever the magic number is now?
Yes.
If that's the definition of good, I don't think we're there.
I don't think we're there either, though we could get there. I think this week is deceiving. Just because we're going to look at it and be like, well, gosh, you know, they're really good. But, I mean, we're a top 60 team probably. but you don't get into the tournament as a top 60 team, right?
Yeah, because you're a bubble team at that point.
Yeah, you're too far down with all of the automatic, you know, qualifications to the tournament. You need to be higher up than that or just win your conference tournament, which is a possibility, but I think as good as St. Mary's and Gonzaga is, it's not a really good possibility. The other piece is I think this team is becoming a really good defensive team, and I think that the offense has, which had looked really good in non-conference schedule, had really sputtered, and it came back against these two bad teams, So I you feel good about that, but you can't get too excited, right? This week's test, and we'll get to those games here in a minute, will be a much better barometer to me whether this team is more like the team that lost, the weekend before, or more like the team that was dominant this past week.
Right.
I mean, we hadn't scored 80 points in a game since Idaho State. We hadn't scored more than 70 in the conference play in those previous four games against Portland, St. Mary's, San Francisco, and Pacific. So, you know, let's not get too carried away. But it was good signs. There were some good things that happened. One of the things that happened was Yoeli Childs dominated and was named the WCC Player of the Week. Matt,
there you go. Things are looking up a little bit.
Yeah, he had 22-13-8, obviously, on Saturday night on his 20th birthday. It's pretty good.
Happy,
and then
happy birthday,
Yoeli. I'm sure you listen to the podcast. Then he had on Thursday, it had 21-12-6, and added three steals. So for the week, Matt, his line is 22 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, 1.5 blocks, 1.5 steals, and he just shot 63% from the field. It's a pretty good week. Yeah. So, anyway.
But I do think, you know, based on what we saw here, I think this is a team that we talked last week about. Do they have another one of these losses to a team other than St. Mary's or Gonzaga? You know, and I think what they came back and showed this week that they may not lose another one of those games.
They might
end up just in that space we talked about early in the season where they just drop one of those. And this year they just happen to be early, right? And then they take care of business down the stretch. I think that's what you're hoping for.
Well, and if they do that, their chance of going to the tournament increase. I still think it's low because the out-of-the-conference schedule wins, we didn't have like this marquee top 50 win, right?
Yeah,
and it really, I guess it really comes down to if you could split with, and we've already lost one of those four games, so that means you got to win 2 out of 3 against Gonzaga and St. Mary's the rest of the year, and not lose some other games. That's a tall order.
And the St. Mary's game that's left is on the road, by the way.
St. Mary's game is on the road. Now, we own Spokane. I don't know if you knew that, but BYU actually purchased all of Spokane. I don't know if you heard that, but we own it.
Expanding satellite campus.
Yeah, yeah. But think about this. Pepperdine, until we, Pepperdine, we had lost we still have lost, I think, the last three games on the road to Pepperdine. Is that right? But we've beat Gonzaga the last three times. Like, doesn't make any sense. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense. Matt, if you want to, if not you, because you're on the show every week, but if other people wanted climb on in the tweet bag, they can do so on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout, on Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout, or good old fashioned email riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Matt, we have another tweet bag question from Gary Payne. That's @FastBreakGP. Thoughts on B-ball team's depth, he says. Can it be that we are younger and deeper at the same time? Will this be more evident in the regular season or the conference tourney? Matt, we're deeper than last year, right?
Oh, we're deeper than last year, for sure.
I'm not sure we're super deep, because if you just look at, let's just look at that last game against Santa Clara and minutes played, right? You're really talking about 8 deep, right? Right now, 8 people are playing. Hawes, Hartnett, Childs, Bryant, Celius, Worthington, Cannon and Dastrup. Nobody else is putting in meaningful minutes. So in some ways we're deeper than last year, but we're not deep, right? We're not deep. Not yet. Maybe when Nixon comes back, and we'll get to that in a second, I'll feel better. Because I think if when you're really deep, you're playing nine guys, right? But I will tell you this. I mean, the guys they've got, I don't look at anybody on this team like last year and maybe some previous teams recently where I go, that person has no business playing, right? I don't feel that way about any of those eight guys. I'd rather maybe see Seljaas play less minutes and Dastrup play more. But I don't think Seljaas has no business being on the court, right?
Right.
So, interesting there. Matt, Justin Whiting says this, and that's at Jay and Whiting on Twitter. How big of a problem is it that we have no upperclassmen? We had a lot of guys leave in the last few years, hashtag tweetbag. Matt, I don't think it's a problem, is it?
No, I mean, it's all about wins. And
which, by the way, we do have, Elijah Bryant's a junior, so we do have, you know, an upperclassman playing. And yeah. Is Hartnett technically a sophomore or junior? I got to pull up the...
He's a sophomore.
He's a sophomore, yeah. So, you know, it's a little different, but I don't think it's
about level of play, but then it's also, I mean, it bodes well for the future, right?
Yeah.
You know, so. I mean, all these guys are back next year. I think this year the chemistry issue has been, you know, discussed a lot. I think we're seeing some benefits there. And if you get all these guys back next year, that's, you know, that's just a whole nother year of these guys playing together, which is useful. Do we feel like in the games that we've lost, the only time that's going to be a problem is if you looked at the losses. So you go back to the Pacific game. I wouldn't even look as much at the St. Mary's game or even go back into before conference play. But if you go back to the loss against Pacific and you feel like that loss was due to inexperience or youth, then yeah, maybe you do say that lacking upperclassmen is a problem for this team. But looking at that game, I don't think that's not an inexperience or youth problem that night.
Yeah.
I don't think that was the issue, right? So that particular thing, I mean, while it's an interesting phenomenon, I don't see it as something that's, you know, some anchor that's holding this team back.
Yeah. I mean, really, the answer against Pacific was we didn't play well enough offensively, right? And yeah, it would have been good to have somebody more experienced. But, I mean, you look at who played down the stretch and stuff. Almost all the people that played down the stretch have experience, right? There weren't freshmen playing, right?
Right.
So I'm with you. I don't know that in those circumstances it would have made a difference to have, quote-unquote, an upperclassman. I think it would have just made a difference if Yoeli didn't have a great offensive game that game against Pacific. Hawes had continued his offensive struggles. And the thing is, Childs and Bryant are allowed to have off nights. And they have to be able to... I mean, if this team can only be good if the two of them are on every night, then we're in trouble, right? Forget about what we said about winning two out of three of those big games and running the table on the rest, right? You're not going to do that if Bryant and Childs have to deliver an A game every night out. You just won't.
Right.
Because
it's not going to happen.
They're going to have off nights. Childs will get in foul trouble or Bryant will just, you know, his shot will be off, right? On a given night. And that's like we talked about a lot last week. That's where Hawes, Cannon, Seljaas, Dastrup, and Hartnett, somebody has to step up in those games and do something more than just kind of, show up and play a little defense, right? So, Matt, let's talk about the TJ Hawes, who played better this week, and Seljaas hit some three-pointers, which was great to see. And then Dalton Nixon is returning. So let me ask you this. Nixon played really well before he got hurt. Now, small sample size, but he played really well. If you look at the advanced stats, he was right now, in 9 games and 158 minutes played, which, interestingly enough, by the way, is still more minutes played than Dastrup has all year, okay? He would be the fourth best player on the team right now by the advanced stats. Okay, so
that's kind of surprising. It feels like it's surprising.
Yeah, I think Nixon played really well, and I think Nixon is a massive addition to the team. He does a lot of things well, none of which are, you know, super flashy, right? I mean, he'll get some rebounds. He can pass. He can shoot. He's not a three-point guy, right? He can rebound. And between him, Worthington, and Dastrup, and, of course, Childs, I think we'll be an even better rebounding team with him on. And he plays some good defense, Matt. So do you think – am I overstating it? Is his return as is his return really that big of a deal? Or do you think, at this point it probably just means – he's going to take some minutes away from Worthington and Dastrup.
No, I think if you go back to our discussion a minute ago about depth, right, and you look at the guys that have been playing, I think his return is a big deal in that space.
Yep, I agree.
And that's probably the part of the conversation where his return is the most important.
So, Matt, we'll get to see Nixon potentially this week, though I expect his minutes will probably be fairly limited. But we'll get to see him against two more conference foes, both in the Marriott Center. That's Loyola Marymount, not very good. And San Diego, who might be a top 100 team. And outside of St. Mary's, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and Gonzaga, they're probably the best team not named BYU. Okay, so LMU on Thursday, look out for 6'1 guard James Bateman. Averaging 17-5-5, and he's shooting well from the floor and the free throw line. So, little guy that I think will be a little bit of a handful, but I feel better this year about our perimeter defense. So I'm not as scared about quick guards like I was last year, and for it seems like every year since Jackson Emery graduated.
Right.
So I don't feel the same. And Matt, San Diego though. Whole different deal. According to Sports Reference, they have the 21st best defense in the country. And I looked at some other sites. Their defense, the numbers, the advanced numbers like their defense. Not so much their offense, by the way. The player to watch there is 6'6" forward Isaiah Pinheiro, who's averaging 15-6-2. Good shooter, good free throw shooter as well. Matt, how on a 1 to 10 scale, how nervous are you about a home game with San Diego?
And they're 6, 7.
What's their mascot again?
What is their mascot?
I don't know. What is their mascot?
I was gonna say the Waves, but that's Pepperdine. Pepperdine.
I wanted to say the Dons, but that's San Francisco. So shows you how much we know our WCC mascots. They are the Toreros.
Oh, the Toreros, right. Oh, I love Toreros.
Love their mascot. I mean, I love their graphic of their mascot.
Oh, really, yeah, cool. Toreros are delicious. Like the with the dough and the cinnamon.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of a different word.
Mm-hmm. Toreros.
Yeah, I think you're looking at something else. I don't think they're the Churros. I don't believe so.
Get them at the mall.
So, Matt, 1 to 10, 10 being extremely nervous, 1 being not nervous at all. How do you feel about that game Saturday night against the Toreros?
I'm like in a 6 to 7 space.
I'm kind of at a 4 or 5. I'm not as worried about it at the Marriott Center. This game will make me a lot more when we play them later in the season on the road. So that game is in February, about a month from now, I'll be more nervous. But you're a little nervous, huh?
A little bit nervous, but sometimes you fall into like the silly things, right? So if you could pick to eat a churro or a cougar tail, which would you pick?
What on earth are you talking about? I need a cougar tail. I don't know. I've never even had a cougar tail. Those didn't even exist when we were on campus.
And the Cougs win.
I mean, we didn't have cougar tails and we couldn't drink Dr. Pepper at a game.
It's the whole campus has just gone to heck totally in a handbasket since we left. It's crazy. It's madness.
Everybody goes on missions.
Cats and dogs living together.
If when they're 18, I don't even know what it
would be.
There's
no freshmen. It's just mass hysteria.
Yeah. Are there any freshmen at BYU anymore? 18-year-old freshmen? Not many.
There's even such a thing?
Not many of them. Not many of them.
Well, and especially now, by the time people get to college now, half of them have done AP class. They're not even really freshmen anymore.
Right, right. So technically they're like sophomores. Right. Matt, how many AP classes did you take in high school? Should be easy to count.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, you'll have to go back and look that up on your high school report cards.
I actually was in a combined English class. Anyway, we can talk about that later. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Matt, last week we ran out of time and did not talk about men's volleyball. And partially, I didn't want to talk about men's volleyball because they had a crushing loss that last weekend. And I was just kind of like, oh, gosh. And it was such a terrible night for BYU sports, right? They lost that game on I guess it was the night before on the 5th against Loyola Chicago, who's a good team, right? But you know, since then, Matt, the Saturday night at the Fieldhouse that Saturday night, they beat Lewis, who's a good team. Then this last weekend, they were in first in Muncie, Indiana, and they beat number 14 Ball State. But then, Matt, it all came together in a road game against the number one team in all the land, Ohio State. And they beat Ohio State in Columbus, which in and of itself, even if they weren't ranked, because of my dislike of Ohio State, would be awesome. But, Matt, that's a big deal. How did you feel about that game and beating Ohio State, that match?
That's pretty awesome on the road. I mean, that's a historically great team.
Well, and they lost last year to them, right, in the title match. So there's a I would say a rivalry, right? Not like a rival, but there's something there. And
yeah, but it's just to go get something back, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, doesn't race no moral not victories winning the title, here, but
right.
I think it's one of the biggest regular season wins for the program, maybe ever, because of it being on the road. Now, obviously not. I mean, they've won national championships. It's not the biggest win or anything. I'm not a moron.
Yeah, but a regular season on the road against a top-ranked team?
The defending national champs.
Rematch of the championship game? Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty big game.
It's a pretty big game. And I think you look at that and you – I mean – it was already, I believed this to already be true, despite the loss at home to Loyola Chicago, who's, like I said before, a good team. They're a national championship contender again, right? I mean, we said this at the end of last season. We haven't talked about them a lot yet on this show this year, but they're just there, right? I mean, they may not because there's other good teams, and obviously their schedule is filled with good teams. But you know, we're going to expect them for the most part to be there and have a chance to win a national championship, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So,
and before everybody comes at me with it's a match, not a game, I know, okay, I'm saying game.
Yeah.
So don't at me, bro.
We're not volleyball guys. I mean, we like volleyball, right? But we're not volleyball guys, right? Like, we didn't play it growing up. We only got into it because BYU was really good when we were there, right?
Yep.
And we
really
still...
over there. That was fun.
We still like to do it. And unfortunately, I have not... The only match I have seen all year was I watched part of the loss to Loyola Chicago. Though I did not realize this, the Ball State one was actually on ESPN3. I didn't know that till after, but I didn't get to do that. But you can see Friday night's match on BYU TV against Barton. So check that out. That's 7 Mountain Time on Friday night, and then. And that's of course in the Smith Fieldhouse. So if you're in the area, date night, I'm just saying, you could do a lot worse. All right, Matt, let's do a little football recruiting. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, and we had Brandon Gurney of the Deseret News on to talk about it as well. But we have a question about that, and this comes from Zachary Thornton at Coronado Zach on Twitter, and he says, tell us why this recruiting season seems so underwhelming, which recruit stands out. So let's jump at that question one at a time. Matt, my answer to the first one is really, really easy. You want to know why it seems underwhelming?
Because, I think I know, but go ahead.
Because this is not a great recruiting class. This is nothing against the guys they signed, because I actually really like three or four of these guys, I think, will be stars at BYU. The problem is the depth of the three stars and the fact that there's no four or five-star guy in the class. Now I actually think Gunnar Romney is probably a four-star guy that's getting underrated. But anyway, Matt, what's your take on that first part of his question?
Well, there's no Jake Heaps, there's no Tanner Mangum, right? We're not getting that out of this group. But
well, there's no Troy Warner, there's no Kyle right. Benoit, right? Right. The defensive side of the ball.
Right, you just don't have that
yet.
Yeah,
you don't have that
but
in this class.
I think something that we all need to remember and understand, that our bread and butter is taking three-star athletes and getting them to perform at a higher level than that.
Yes.
That's where we've been historically good, and that's what we need to be able to do. And so you look at some of these guys, you know, you brought up, you know, Gunnar Romney, who's probably a 3-star guy. I think we have a handful of players like that, right? That are right. Like kind of on the cusp or really solid threes. And that's really what you want, because at the end of the day, that's going to be the meat and potatoes of this football team going forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. That being said, it would be really nice to have. I think every recruiting class you want somebody like a Vannoy, like a Jake Heaps.
You want some splash, right?
Yeah, because if you look
not
at the best teams we've
just
ever
like
had,
Jake Heaps, but
no. Well, I just mean of the caliber of recruit, not their college career. Okay, Vannoy, how's that? Troy Warner. I think the biggest issue here was we lost a few guys, and you were terrible, right, in the regular season, and that people walk right. That you're 17 or 18 year old kid, and you look and go, oh gosh, I don't want to be on a losing team, right? And you walk,
right?
It happens. It's you know, but the ranking 90th or 80 something, depending on your ranking service, it's not good. But who am I excited about? I'm excited about Gunnar Romney. Straight out. Big, tall, fast wide receiver. We could use Gunnar Romney like yesterday, right? We could use Gunnar Romney yesterday. So
We could have used him a bunch.
But I don't know if he'll be playing next year or not. I don't remember. I think that's actually people have talked about that already. So I'm probably just missing it.
But anyway. You know, there are a couple other guys out there. There are some guys on this list that are people to be excited about.
Well, I think an underrated one is the guy we talked about previously, Stacey Connor out of Texas, who's a quarterback potentially, or maybe he switches positions because he's a tremendous athlete and got a lot of size. Zach Wilson, the other quarterback in this class, could be very exciting.
Yeah, I think Zach Wilson could be really exciting. If you watch game film on a couple of these guys, I think that you got Tyson Lewis could be good.
Yeah, a couple of the old.
You know, you've got a couple of these guys that look like, you know, they've got all the right pieces, right? And you bring them in and you get these guys to perform beyond expectations, right?
Yes.
So that's what you're looking for. You're looking for guys with real solid upside that want to be at BYU.
Well, and you look at the two wide receivers on this list, and there may be a few others who might end up playing wide receiver, but the ones that are listed at wide receiver are 6'2". And 6'3", and six. I'm sorry, there's three of them. 6'2", 6'3", and 6'3", right? Like tall wide receivers, and all of whom are supposed to be pretty fast. I feel good about that because, quite frankly, we need playmakers at the wide receiver position right now because that is lacking. So, and any of these guys that do end up coming next year and play in the 2018 season. Any guys on the offensive side of the ball have a chance to play if they're a position player? Because right now it is wide open. You're right. There's not a position,
yeah.
And they don't. I don't think we have a running back on this list. But at wide receiver and quarterback, I have no idea who's starting next year. I have no clue. You know.
Well, and like we said a second ago, you got three offensive linemen coming in. Two of them are weigh 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And with six.
Yeah.
know, and then it's, I mean, it's, these are big guys. I mean, that's a place that needs a lot of work. Tall wide receivers is something we've been lacking, right?
Yeah.
So there's physical attributes here that are promising. You look at some of these guys on film and they have some upside. So, you know, that this is, this isn't the end of the world, folks. Yeah. There's not a Kyle Van Noy in this group. And Tanner Mangum is, you know, who from Elite 11 quarterback camp isn't walking through that door.
Do you know what'll help this for next year? Win some football games.
Yeah, win games.
And not only win games, but if you're going to lose a handful, which is likely, we talked about that last week.
Don't lose to UMass.
Yeah. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat and play competitively with the teams that you lose to, right? If you end up losing to Wisconsin and Madison, it's not the end of the world. But don't seem like you're completely outclassed, right? Do it like when we lost to Wisconsin last time where, yeah, we lost. It wasn't really that close. But, you know, we were in it for 2.5 quarters and didn't get the crap kicked out of us, right? So I've been saying that phrase a lot today. Matt, a cool article in the Deseret News by friend of the podcast, Dick Harmon, about new wide receivers coach Fessy Satake, basically talking about how excited he is to be there, and also his excitement about working with the new offensive coordinator, Jeff Grimes. Matt, we talked a little bit about Fessy Satake before, and we thought he might be a offensive coordinator candidate back in the day, and obviously now he's coming on the staff. Based on this interview, based on what you've read, how are you feeling about Fessy Satake?
I'm excited about Satake. I thought he put together a really, really good offense. You know, we've talked about this, and was able to put together really good game plans, and they moved the ball really well in the air. So I think there's some reason to be optimistic about his ability to put these wide receivers in a position to make plays, and to put them in a context in an offense that's going to make sense, kind of be a coherent offensive identity. And have you guys getting off the ball, not getting jammed up at the line of scrimmage and these types of issues that have plagued us, frankly, the past couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems like in his comments about Grimes that there is going to be, and again, it's very early and it's easy to say the right things today, but that there's going to be a culture of accountability. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I think that'll be great. Well, Matt, we are out of time, so we're going to move on. Jared Nielsen sent us a really cool question that we will come back to, Jared. He asked us about ranking post-BYU careers of athletes who departed early for whatever reason. We'll have to give that some thought. Perhaps a bottom five and a top five. Didn't John Welsh leave early? Before Sarkisian came in?
Walsh, he did.
Junior? I think he was a junior.
Think he did leave early.
And didn't get drafted.
He got some bad advice.
Yeah, he got some bad advice, but it worked out great because Sarkisian was Walsh wasn't a bad quarterback, but Sarkisian was better.
Sarkisian was awesome.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll come back to that, Jared. It's an interesting question, and he did hashtag climb on in is a little creepy. It's a long hashtag. And I also had hashtag best root beer is ginger beer.
Ginger beer isn't root beer. It's something different.
That is something different, Jared. That is factually correct, Matt. I would say that came from, was that just last week or is that 2 weeks ago we talked about all the root beer? I got a bunch of suggestions on Twitter, by the way.
Right after New Year's. Wasn't it New Year's Eve when you did your root beer testing?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was New Year's Eve or New Year's Day when we did our root beer testing. So, we will expand it next year. We got some really good suggestions off of the Twitter machine. So Matt, we will be back next week to talk about a couple of things. First of all, we'll hopefully be talking about wins over Loyola, Marymount, and San Diego, and then we'll be previewing the big road game against St. Mary's. So this will really be, let's assume we win those two games, and by we, I mean not me at all. I mean the actual athletes that play the games, beat Loyola Marymount San Diego. You've got a big road game against St. Mary's that next week. And so we'll be back to preview that game. And I'm sure talk about other stuff. I would guess.
Oh, that's my, Great. I can't wait. I can't wait to do it again.
I can't wait to do it again either. So if you like this show, I would go down to iTunes and I'd leave us a review, Matt.
That's what I would do. A five-star review
about how great we are. It helps other people find the podcast when they're searching if there's good review action. And if you hate the show, I'm not sure why you're still listening. And I don't know anything about an iTunes rating system. I don't believe it exists.
No, actually, it doesn't exist.
There's no such thing.
If you hate the show, just understand that that doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. I don't know why they don't let you do it, but for some reason they don't.
Weird.
It's weird. It's weird. Sure. Almost as weird as you hating a show and listening for 50 minutes.
Almost as weird.
Almost as weird as that, but not quite.
Almost
as weird as that. Well, everybody, thank you for downloading and listening. We appreciate you coming and joining us on this BYU Sports Conversation, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
It's crazy about Elvis, loves horses, and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day, living in Reseda, there's a freeway, running through the yard. I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart. Sure, a boulevard.